Happy Friday. It is 4:05, and so we are entering entertainment court. Reshmi Nayyar in the big chair with co-juror slash producer Ben Harrison.
Happy to be here, Reshmi.
And let us enter the court with Judge Krause.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, it's Friday. I'm approaching the bench.
Please do. I've got my summer robes on to deal with the heat.
Oh, good.
And I'm ready to go.
What is your first case?
The Recording Academy, and that's the folks who hand out the Grammy Awards, which are the world's most recognized music award, have announced changes regarding the use of artificial intelligence in popular music. Recording Academy CEO and President Harvey Mason Jr. said, here's the super easy headline statement, AI or music that contains AI-created elements, and that's artificial intelligence, is absolutely eligible for entry and for consideration for Grammy nominations, period. What's not going to happen is that we're not going to give a Grammy or Grammy nomination to the AI portion. The new rules also stated a work that contains no human authorship is not eligible in any category. An example of this in practice would be a track featuring an AI voice modeling program performing the lead vocal. It wouldn't be eligible in the songwriting category. It would be, rather, eligible in the songwriting category. It would not be eligible in a performance category. If a song was sung by a human in a studio, but the lyrics or track was written by AI, the song would not be eligible in composition or songwriting categories. So my question is to you, should there be a new Grammy category just for AI? Are all the signs pointed that way?
Absolutely not. But, and here's a but, I am a tech nerd. So I would be okay with this purely from a technical standpoint. Like, they give awards, Grammys to best engineering, best mixing. I would be okay if there was a category just for best AI in that field. But when it comes to songwriting, when it comes to performance, when it comes to the musicality and the artistry, absolutely not.
Isn't artificial intelligence supposed to strive for the best already? Would it be humans grading AI? I'm not for this at all. I don't think AI should be awarded for anything. Don't let them know about awards.
Nobody wants technology to replace human creativity, but artificial intelligence is here to stay, so we have to find ways to acknowledge it. Just like the synthesizer, AI offers up new possibilities to songwriters and musicians. Maybe the day will come when an AI program can write a lyric as starkly emotional as In My Life, or create a melody as original or soul-stirring as People Get Ready, but until then, new songs created alongside AI technology like David Guetta's MNIM, and the AI compositions of TikTok user Ghostwriter977 are like the new bubblegum pop. They're catchy, but empty. But unlike bubblegum pop, AI shows no signs of going away. And I don't think AI will be able to replace human creativity, but I do think it can be used as a tool, like a guitar, like a synthesizer, or whatever technology we use to create music. But until the human touch can be felt in the music, or a computer is able to show up at the Grammys to collect an award, the Recording Academy must be vigilant to ensure that only human creators and not machines with cognitive functions are celebrated. And that is my verdict.
All right, Judge Krause, what is our next case?
While making the rounds for the fourth season of his anthology comedy Miracle Workers, Daniel Radcliffe made it abundantly clear that he doesn't expect to appear in the upcoming Harry Potter reboot. During a conversation with Access Hollywood, the former franchise star was asked if he had any conversations about joining the series and responded, "I certainly haven't." So the question that I have for you is, should Daniel Radcliffe give fans what they want and paint the lightning bolt on his forehead one more time for the new Harry Potter film, or is he done with it for sure and for real?
Give the fans what they want. That's what I say. Why not? I'm not married to anything Harry Potter, so I don't know if it's a faux pas, but I think Daniel Radcliffe is pretty good with his fans. Just give them what they want.
nope, no way, no how. I can't see this happening. I love Daniel Radcliffe. I think he's one of our most interesting actors. He goes to unexpected places. I mean, he played Weird Al last year, for crying out loud, in a Weird Al movie. Let him keep on doing the weird, interesting movies like Swiss Army Man. It's time. He's checked out of Harry Potter. I've checked out of Harry Potter. It's done.
For Potter fans, it would be a thrill to see Radcliffe back in Hogwarts, but he is absolutely correct not to return to the role. The initial run of movies were lightning in a bottle. They were perfectly cast and embraced by fans who related to Harry, Hermione, and Ron because they were good-hearted, loyal, and smart, among many other virtues. They are now encased in ember, forever young on film, and to see Radcliffe come back at age 33, 12 years after finishing up the franchise, would take away some of the original magic. Also, he'd be a distraction and soak up all the attention from the new, younger cast. Then there is the actor himself. He has moved on. In an interview I did with him years ago, he told me that at the peak of Potter, he learned not to make eye contact with anyone and how a hoodie can be an effective disguise for a late-night convenience store run. He's grateful for that white-hot phase of his career, but unwilling to revisit, and playing Potter again would thrust him back into that space. He has moved on, and so will the fans. And that is my verdict.
Time for one last case. What do you have, Judge Krause?
The Little Mermaid, The Flash, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny all fell far short of expectations and became expensive flops, even though they have grosses in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's hard to wrap one's head around the idea that Indiana Jones can make $130 million on its opening weekend and not yet be considered a hit. But at an eye-watering $295 million to produce, Indy needed to go astronomical at the box office to even have a chance at breaking even. Anything Disney threw out in 2019 made $1 billion, says Jeff Bock, an analyst with Exhibitor Relations. Now it's more difficult than ever to release a film worldwide. The international landscape has changed. It's not close to coming back. So my question to you is this the age of what the BBC called flopbusters, or is it just a blip at the movie theaters?
We're in the age of flopbusters. It seems undeniable when you only get maybe one or two movies a year like Top Gun Maverick that feel like the way blockbusters used to feel, that are big, four-quadrant, audience-pleasing pictures. Those just don't happen anymore. I miss them. There's a reason why the original blockbusters worked and laid the foundation for where we are today. We need to go back to that. We need to do something new.
Yeah, I can see why these are flop busters. I don't want to go and see a movie that I know the storyline of, but I also don't want to be told a story I don't know yet because I don't have the mental capacity. So I'm the wrong person for this one, Judge, but I can see why the majority of people didn't go and see these films. Also, the cost of going to see a movie right now versus staying at home, it's going to lead to more flop busters.
Here's my verdict. The lackluster global turnout for The Little Mermaid, The Flash, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is a sign that brand familiarity is no longer the ticket to get people to go to the theaters. And I say, it's about time. I liked all of those movies. The Flash and Indiana Jones are a bit of old school action adventure, and The Little Mermaid is a good family flick. But I think we're near the point where in Hollywood, familiarity can breed contempt. Next weekend, another familiar title, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, will likely reign supreme. But that isn't simply a Mission Impossible movie. It's a Tom Cruise movie, which has become a brand onto itself. He may be the last movie star whose name will get people into seats. But I digress. I think Hollywood has become too bloated and too reliant on old ideas. Writer Mark Harris said it best when he compared what's happening now in this era of the flopbuster to the late 1960s when Hollywood lost its way with what he called lesser versions of what worked 20 years ago, a panic about the waning clout of movie stars, a fearful understanding that old marketing approaches are simply failing to reach or excite fast swaths of the movie-going audience, a dread that Hollywood's best creative days are behind it. Does that sound familiar? Because that was the end of the 60s. Hollywood can come back, but it can't be lazy and rely on past glories to create future projects, or profits, rather. And that is my verdict.
Thank you so much, Judge Krause. Wishing you a lovely weekend.
And to you as well.
Wishing you a lovely weekend is what I was trying to get out of my mouth. Richard Krause, says Judge Krause, and that is Entertainment Court for this Friday edition of The Rush, News Talk 1010 Toronto. Let's take a look at traffic. It's 4:15, time for News Talk 1010 Toronto Time Saver Traffic.